Hello and welcome to our bonus Q&A episode of Books of the Year. We're in the studio here with Dawn French, who's already said she's going to forget a lot of the stuff because she is 68.
That's okay.
Which is relevant to our previous conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, the Q&A. What is the last book, Dawn, what is the last book that you really, really enjoyed reading?
I have referenced this to you, but it is a book by Kay Tempest. What's it called? So, the last book I read that I absolutely loved...
Dawn is 68.
...is Kay Tempest's book, Having Spent Life Seeking. And honestly, it's beautiful. Because Kay is an artist who knows about words. You know, this, I don't really know how to describe his career. Is he a rapper? Is he a poet? He's all of those things. I don't know, wordsmith. But the... And also this book is, it references his transition. And I don't think I've read a book about somebody's transition before. It's beautiful. It's about forgiveness and homecoming and change. And it's rather annoyingly, blisteringly good.
Is there an idea in a book or a plot that you've ever felt yourself being furiously envious of? Wish I'd come up with that.
Yes. I read Puckoon when I was a kid, which is a book by Spike Milligan.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's quite a short book. And it's, unlike so many things by Spike Milligan, it kind of goes outside of the box of everything. And it's a book about the partition of Ireland. So Puckoon is a village.
Okay.
And the border between North and South Ireland. So I don't know, was that 1920-something or 1930-something? Mm. Anyway, the border... is goes through a village, and it's about this village. This is Northern Ireland, this is Southern Ireland.
Wow.
And the people in the village and how they deal with it. And they're hilarious, first of all. But what is brilliant about it is his central character is the laziest person imaginable, and they can't even be bothered to turn up in the book. So they do turn up in the book, but he has to keep waking the character up. The writer, the author, has to keep waking the character up to take part in the book.
Yeah.
So it breaks the fourth wall completely. And it's just hilarious. And I'm jealous of that.
Have you ever had a mentor as an actor, comedian, writer, parent?
Oh, well, definitely parent. You know, my mum, obviously. But... when it comes to work stuff, I don't have a mentor, but I have sort of talisman, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
So I have a friend called Emma Kilcoyne, who is one part of a twin, who wrote a sitcom I did called Roger and Val Have Just Got In, which I did with Fred Molina. And it was very beautiful writing. It's sort of hermetically sealed life where these two people just try to get through. And you realise in episode 4 or 5 that they had a child a long time ago that died. And they're just trying to get on with life and trying to keep loving each other. But it literally took place in real time in 30 minutes. You know, somebody would arrive home from work, Roger or Val. And then we literally did it like a play, put the kettle on. We waited till the kettle boiled. And it was just about their life and their love for each other and trying to keep a marriage going and trying to keep happy. And the writing was exquisite. And that was Emma and Beth Kilcoyne. And Emma has become a very close friend of mine. And anything I write, I send to her. And I probably, publishers not probably furious with me for this, but she sees everything first. And I take heed of what she says. Not everything, but her notes are succinct and precise and wonderful. And I have another friend called John Fink, who's also a writer. And he's somebody whose advice I might seek for something. So I don't know if that's a mentor, but they're certainly, I feel like I haven't, I'm not equipped to have the book published until I've had their input.
Good people to have around.
Good people.
Exactly. Once you, as far as reading's concerned, once you start a book, do you always, always finish it?
No.
No, that's no weakness at all. I'm absolutely in that corner.
You know,
as well.
Very often it's because I get distracted by something else. I've gone off, done something. It wasn't particularly because the book was bad or I didn't care about it. I've just lost the thread.
You see, I always blame the book. I always say it's absolutely the book's fault, not mine. Yeah.
exactly.
I think I get distracted and then I think, oh, I've got to start it again. No, I've got to start it and I can't be bothered to start it again. No. I know a bit about that book now and then I move on. Yeah.
Is there a book from your childhood that you would consider now as influential or you just loved?
I think at school we read a book called I Am David. Does this sound familiar to you?
I
hope I haven't made it up. I don't know who the author is. And it's about a little chap who escapes from a concentration camp. And he flees into the woods. And it's all about his journey and people who help him. And he comes all the way back round and finds his mother. And it's heartbreaking. And it taught us so much.
It's a novel by Anne Holm. Came out in 1963.
Okay, so I would have been six when that happened. Yeah, okay. So I think I read it. I think I read it at sort of 12 or something. I think it might have been the first sort of book where I'm holding it myself and really wanted to read it. But I know it was given to us in school and we had to answer questions and stuff about it. But I remember thinking, I understand what this novel's about, everyone. I understand what this is. It's not just this little boy story. It's about his mum and it's about this and it's about that. You know, when you think, I've got it, I've got it. Yeah.
Do you have a writing routine? Do you need to be in a certain place? Do you have snacks with you? What are you looking at as you're
Please
writing?
Look at me. Of course I have snacks. I'm entirely circular. I definitely have snacks. You can't maintain a barrel like this without snacks. So I definitely do office hours. I go into my office, which I have made lovely, and I have a lovely view. So in my house, which I only moved to 3 years ago, the room that I have as my writing room or my office really should be the master bedroom. So when we walked around, I thought, oh, look at that, because it looks down at the river. I can see the Tamar. I can see Devon. I can even see the enemy from my house. And it's got a lovely view. And I thought, well, that's got to be the big bedroom. But an architect friend of mine was with me and he said, well, yeah, it's lovely to wake up to that, but that's the last time you would see it all day if it's your bedroom. You work in a room all day. Why don't you make it a room? I thought, yes, of course. So I've rather greedily stolen this room, but I love being in it. And also it's upstairs, which means nobody bothers you. Hmm. Nobody can be bothered to come up the stairs, so you really do get left alone. I painted it bright pink and I put a big chandelier in it and I put the desk facing the window and I go there at 9 o'clock in the morning. I stop at 11 for a bit of frothy coffee and chocolate and Werther's Originals. And then I go back again till one and I take an hour off at lunchtime. I then have a nanny nap.
Okay.
Yes, I'm 68. I have a nanny nap for about 20 minutes.
20 minutes, okay. 20 minutes. Right. Yes, yes.
And then I'm back at it again till about 5. And I do that every day. Every day. And, you know, some days you manage something and some days you don't.
Have you ever experienced writer's block? And if so, what did you do about it?
Well, I think I have. I think I've come to a stop occasionally. But I think the only thing you can do is just keep writing. And forgive yourself for it. And you go back the next day and see, oh, that was rubbish. All of that is rubbish. And I can put that in the bin, but at least I did write. I've got a kind of Protestant work ethic. And so I think I've got to do a certain amount of pages each day. Otherwise, I won't keep up with my deadline. So even if the pages are rubbish, I will write 2 pages of rubbish each day at least.
Do you keep your book? I don't think we've ever asked this question before on the Q&A. Do you keep your books in good condition, or are you very happy to chuck them about? Paperbacks all dog-eared, and the hardbacks. 100%
not that. You're slightly traumatizing me by even saying it. I think books. I'm very respectful of books, and I they're in neat rows. I might even put them in slightly alphabetical order a little bit if I can.
There isn't such a thing as slightly alphabetical.
No, correct. That is correct. Correct. Well, there is, isn't there? Because I might not go for the whole name. I might, you know, all the A's might be there and all the B's might be there. But I might not just look at the second letter. Try and forgive me, Simon. Try. I couldn't be doing it. Wouldn't be dog-eared. And I don't bend
the spines.
No, absolutely not. No.
All right. We like to surprise our guests with a question from a fellow author and fan. So here is a voice note from best-selling poet Donna Ashworth.
Hi, Simon. Hi, Matt. And hello, Dawn. As you know, Dawn, I am a massive fan of all of your work and all of your books, but your new one I enjoyed more than I can quite possibly put into words. I would really love to ask you a question, and that question is, how do you manage to inject so much humour and light into one of the most difficult to discuss topics that there could possibly be? How do you do that? Is there a writing strategy for that formula, or is it just sheer God-given talent? I suspect it might be the latter. I love you.
Oh, that woman. I love that woman so much. She's been so encouraging. And look at her fabulous poetry. It's fantastic. Listen, I don't think we can survive without humour. And as I have said to you, it is the way we connect to each other. It's how you throw one of those, what are they called, life boys? One of those, is it called a life boy? What's it called?
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah,
a life ring. Yes. Yeah, one of those. That's how we throw them out to each other, and that's what you cling on to, is like, this joke, you get it, okay, I'll pull you in. In a way, it's the sort of gallows humour for me, especially in this book, because the subject is tricky. But for me, that's even more of an invitation to help it out, to ease it with some humour. And for me, that's a natural thing to do, because this family is funny. That's how they are. Their bricks and mortar is humour. So why would they not have it in the most stressful of times? That's when they would have their sharpest wit.
So the answer to Donna is God-given gift.
Yes. Yeah, there it is. Divine. If you hadn't had a career in acting, in comedy, in writing, what else do you think you would have done? Or more accurately, what would you like to have seen yourself doing? What would have been the dream?
Do you know, I honestly really don't know the answer to this, but I think I'm nosy enough about the human condition that I think I probably would like to have been a shrink.
Okay.
Because, I've had a bit of therapy in my life, and I leave there, I'm very judgmental about, I think I've had two different therapists only, and I know what I like about one or not don't like about the other one, and I know, cherry pick what I need from it. But I think, that's really great job. What a great job to really get in amongst stuff with somebody and to possibly genuinely help somebody to change their mind about something, or to ease their troubles somehow, or to make sense of something, to wrap some understanding around it. I'm married to a therapist, as it happens. I met him because he worked with my mum, and the charity that they set up is a sort of rehab for people with drug and alcohol problems. And he gets in amongst the grittiest part of people's lives. And still now, he's retired, but his phone goes all day from people who he helped, sometimes to say, by the way, been sober for 20 years, just want to remind you that you helped me. Or they might say, about to fall off the wagon, or did fall off the wagon, And I see him go into a little corner, and he says such clever things to people. He just reads people. And it's hilarious, actually, when he comes to meet my friends, because some of my friends that I introduced him to, and he knows nothing about the business I'm in. He's never seen me on telly really before. Knows nothing about it. In fact, when I remember once I said, I've got Kathy Burke is coming to stay for the weekend, who's a very close friend of mine. He went, oh, the weather woman. No. I don't know who you're talking about.
I was going to say, who's...
But not her. Much more interesting.
No.
That's Wincy Willis.
Wincy Willis, yeah. But not Kathy Burke, but I've had other friends who've been had all kinds of troubles over many years that we've all been through together. And he's only just met them. And, they go, and he'll go, what's with the A, B and C of that? I think, oh, you seem to have worked that out. You've sniffed out something, instinctive very quickly. Anyway, I'd love to have been a shrink is the short answer.
Final question. You're throwing a fantasy dinner party.
Yes.
And you can invite three authors, alive or dead. Who's coming?
John Berger, probably is coming. That's a beautiful book, and which I'm also going to remember. It, the title is something like "And Our Faces, Brief as Time."
Dawn French is 68.
Why do people choose these long... Look what my book's called. It's one word. Yes. Come on. And Our Faces, Photos, Brief as Time, something like that.
It's a dreadful title. That is the title. Goodness
it's a
me.
Lot of short stories all together. I would have John Berger. I would have Kay Tempest. Sorry, but I've got a massive crush. And Beatrix Potter, maybe.
Ooh.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone has chosen
No, I like this.
I did play Beatrix Potter in a film. It was the first thing I did after COVID, actually. And Rob Brydon played the husband. And it was about the time, which apparently happened, where the six-year-old Roald Dahl met the 60-year-old Beatrix Potter.
Wow.
Roald Dahl's mum took him to he loved her writing, and he took... his mum took him to her garden, and she did meet him. She asked him to leave, but she did meet him. And this was a drama about that moment.
So Beatrix Potter, Kay Tempest, and John Berger, who wrote that book,
the time of the
first. And Our Faces.
With a thing, collection of short stories.
Yeah.
But by the time you actually have the dinner, you must at least have worked out what that book you wrote.
John Berger. I don't even know if John Berger's still alive, is he?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Living or dead.
Living or dead. I'd say, John, could we shorten it? Let's just call it Faces. Let's just call it that.
Okay. All sorted. All right. Enough by Dawn French is published by Michael Joseph and is out now. You can email us at any time, booksoftheyear@yahoo.com, or you can get in touch via our socials at Books of the Year. Hope you can join us next week when our guest will be Pulitzer Prize winning author Elizabeth Strout. Until then, thank you for listening. You all right?
Yeah.